believe it. The more you believe it, the more you appropriate it. The more you appropriate it, the more your life changes from glory to glory. Thank you, Lord God. Give you praise and glory. You are holy. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You're wonderful. Lord, we just acknowledge your holiness today. We acknowledge, Lord God, that if it wasn't for you and your holiness, we'd be nothing. We could be nothing in you. We could be nothing in this world, and we would have a destiny of disaster. But we have a destiny of life, to reign with you for eternity, to reign with you for eternity, Lord. We thank you for it in your wonderful and glorious name. Amen. Amen. Well, you can all take your seats. And me, I'm going to try and do what God's telling me to do. I'm burning my notes. You know, that song is an absolute amazing song. And sometimes phrases like, holy, holy are you, Lord. And we think of God as being this untouchable, completely irrelevant being that is out there somewhere. He's so holy, and we could never be anything like that. But the word holy, where they acknowledge God, is another word that we use, holy, W-H. Wholeness. Wholeness and holiness are synonymous. Wholeness. He came to make us whole, spirit, soul, and body. From that holiness, we grow in holiness. You get me? The holiness, we grow into holiness. And Jesus said, be ye holy, for I am holy. Put on holiness, the scripture tells us, without which no man shall see the Lord. What is this holiness? What is it? It's a gift from God. He gives us wholeness when he cleanses our life from everything that this world has corrupted it with. It's quite amazing. You can jump into a couple of scriptures, maybe, Anthony. I don't know whether you can jump into them or not, but let's just see how we go. Romans 5:17. You can fly by the seat of your pants up there as well, mate. Romans 5:17 is a scripture referring to the Lord Jesus and what he did in place of what Adam did. You know, by one man's sin, the Bible tells us, death and sin in this world reigned. Sin is not just defined as the actions of sin. The actions of sin are a result of independence from God. You live independently of God, you will live a life of sin, period. No question about it. That's why God asks us to repent and surrender to him. Put him back in first place in our life as King of Glory. Then, the Bible says, sin will not have dominion over us. So when Adam sinned, this world fell from the state that God intended for it to be to a substandard state. A state of independence from God where sin and death took over. God never intended for us to die. I don't know if you're aware of that in the beginning. He made us spiritual beings with an eternal existence. Well, that is still the spirit man of man, but the body is history. The body dies on this planet. So by one man's sin, the Bible tells us, death, destruction, degradation, and sin reigned. And that's through that one man, just because he was disobedient. But much more, they who receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Reigning in life. What's that all about? Why do we need to reign in life through Christ Jesus? Well, life will dominate you if you don't dominate it. Let's just look at it that way. This world has got so much pressure on it for people to do and be and conform to everything we learn from Hollywood or from the media or from our peers or from schools or from workplaces, there is a complete debauchery in all of that. It's substandard to anything that God has. That is part of, by one man's sin, death reigns, still evolving or going on in this planet, and it's getting worse. The Bible says in the last days, the wicked will intensify and become more worse. So it says they will wax worse. Wax is an amazing product. You can heat it and heat it, and it just gets hotter and hotter and hotter and hotter and hotter and hotter and hotter. There is no stopping it. If you heat it, the more you heat it, the hotter it gets. Well, sin is like that with the wickedness. They are waxing, just intensifying more and more and more in their sinfulness. But the Bible says much more, if sin can reign in this world, much more those who have come to a knowledge of righteousness in Christ Jesus shall reign in life. Whoa. What is it to reign in life? That's to stand firm for the principles of what God has put in us through Christ Jesus, and we stand against the onslaught of the world's pressures. We stand against the temptations of this life that are substandard to what God wants. We stand against the wickedness. The Bible says no liar shall enter the kingdom of heaven. How many of us have told a lie? Come on, be honest. Have you ever told a lie? Come on. You ever told a mistruth? It doesn't matter if it's a white lie or a black lie. You know, we're all guilty. All right? If we say we have no sin, what's the Bible say? Yeah, look out. So the truth is not in us. We can't deny the fact that we've all at least made some form of faux pas. Bible says no liar shall enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoa. So what we do is we come to Christ and we reign in life. And the moment we tempted to tell a lie, we take authority over it. We then are government of our own life, our own mouth, our own thoughts. We then govern what comes out. We're reigning in life. A temptation comes to steal. And you're outside of Christ, sin reigns. Who cares? People are stealing left, right, and center all over the place at the moment. It's a rampant thing at the moment. But do you want to steal? No, I don't want to steal. It's not my nature. Why? Because I'm reigning in life by Christ Jesus. There are other things that this world just promotes as normal. The Hollywood movies are disgustingly full of it. And it looks like it's fun and it looks like it's a way to live, but it is not. If it's not godly, it's ungodly. So therefore, through sin, death reigns. Not just death now, but death eternally. There's a judgment one day, man. I don't want to be part of that judgment where the Bible talks about what God does to those who walk a wicked life. It's eternal damnation. It's eternal suffering. And eternity, how long is eternity? A lot longer than you and me can count. It just goes on and on and on and on. Our choices in this life make the difference. But to reign in life has far more to it than us just being goody two-shoes in God's eyes. If you can't reign in life now, how are you going to reign with Christ for eternity? It's a training ground. It's a training ground for us now to overcome the world, the flesh, the temptations of the devil, and the things this life throws at us, and put our foot down with a no, that is not what God wants. I will not, I cannot, and I must not. Not because you've got a set of rules to live by. You've got a new nature that governs. That new nature then must rise up and become the factor that causes us to reign in life by one Christ Jesus. He gave us the capacity to have dominion. He gave it to Adam in the beginning. Right at the very beginning of creation, he said to Adam, have dominion over everything. The temptation came along and he surrendered that dominion and gave it away and became subservient to whatever was thrown at him. Well, that's been us outside of Christ, subservient to whatever this world throws at us. God wants to restore dominion. He wants to restore that reign in life by one, Christ Jesus, fully and functionally now. Not in heaven. Not in heaven, because even though we're supposed to live eternally and reign with Christ, if you haven't learned to reign now, you're going to have to go to reigning school. I'm telling you, you'll have to learn, because if you haven't learned to reign in life now and put things in place and govern your own thoughts, actions, speech, conduct, and everything that this world thinks is standard, you are not reigning, therefore you are letting God down completely. Whoa. Shell shock. No, it's true. Not only are you letting God down, you're letting yourself down, because you're supposed to be the image of the glory of God reflected and allowing that to shine your light into this world so people can see, hey, there's a standard. There's a standard in that person. What is it that that person's got that I haven't got? What is it that they're living that I'm not living? What is it that they've got peace about that I've got no peace about? There needs to be a reflection of God's glory within us in such a way that people see it. The Bible also says in Romans 8, it says the whole of creation is groaning and travailing, awaiting for the birth manifestation of the people of God. Now, not only does creation groan because of that, creation is in a substandard place and it knows it. There's things around us that know that they are not what God made them to be. Very creation itself is like that. And it's got this terrible, where's the sons of God thing going on? But you know, this God says we also groan when we see things that aren't right in God's ways. Do you wake up in the morning and look at the news, I heard a preacher say last night, and you groan, oh, Lord, that's not your way. Do you see new laws being written? Oh, God, why are they doing that? It's the wicked getting worse. I read Psalm 94 during the week. Can we have a look at Psalm 94, 13 and on? I did give you that one today, but I'm only going to touch on this a little bit. You know, David was in a situation back then at the time where Israel had been under oppression of enemies. And they'd defeated most of them. They were still attacking them at different quarters. But within Israel itself, there were tyrants. And there were people operating in treachery. There were people who were just subjugating everything to their own ways and wills. There were just horrible things going on within the land. And the cry of David's heart was, how long, God, will people be like this? And I think from 13 on it says, have we got that there or not? No. Hang on. We might have to go back a little bit, mate. Sorry. Let's go back a few verses. Back up. Go back. Go on. He starts at verse 1. He says, God to whom vengeance belongs, or God to whom retribution belongs, recompensing belongs. It's quite intense in the way it's written. And it says it twice. Shine out. Come on, shine out, God. Rise up, judge of the earth. Render punishment to the proud. Lord, how long will the wicked? Go on. How long will the wicked triumph? They utter speech. And then if you look at the original, they're talking vain and horrible stuff. And they speak insolent things. They're all the workers of iniquity, boast in themselves. They're proud about it. You know, ha, you should see what I did. You know, and even the, you know, knuckleheads trying to take over the world are so boastful what they're doing. They break your people in pieces, O Lord. They afflict your heritage. Keep going. They slay the widow and the stranger. They're not interested in people. They murder the fatherless. And if you look at that in the original, it says they actually shed the blood of the innocent. What are they doing today with all these crazy abortion laws? Total ungodly conduct. And here's what David was saying back then. murdering for the sake of something else. Yet they say, the Lord's not seeing this, nor does the God of Jacob understand. We're doing what we want to do, and he's not really interested in this. He's not looking, and he doesn't understand what we're on about. We're greater than God. And this is what they're saying today in this world today. It's quite horrific. All right? Understand, you senseless among the people, and you fools. Come on. When will you be wise? He who planted the ear, doesn't he hear? He who formed the eye, doesn't he still see? He who instructs the nations, won't he correct them? He who teaches man knowledge, the Lord knows the thoughts of man, that they are futile. Blessed is the man that you instruct, O Lord, and teach out of your law, or out of your ways, that you may give him rest from the days of adversity until a pit is dug for the wicked. Boy, they don't have too much of a future, do they? But this is an amazing psalm. Go on. For the Lord will not cast off his people, nor will he forsake his inheritance. He's got his eyes on us. Judgment will return to right. Judgment will return to righteousness, and the upright in heart will follow it. This is what God's asking us to do. The upright in heart, to follow righteousness, reign in life by Christ Jesus. Who will rise up for me against the evildoers? Keep going. Who will stand up for me against the workers of iniquity? Unless the Lord had been my help, my soul would soon have settled in silence. In other words, you just roll over and capitulate, say, oh, I can't fight this. But if God is your help, we reign in life by one Christ Jesus. We have the empowerment of God to do that. I love that. Oh, if I say, oh no, my foot's slipping here, I can't stand on this, I can't stand any longer, your mercy, O Lord, will hold me up. In the multitude of my anxieties or cares or distresses or pressures and everything that's inside of me, your comfort delights my soul. Oh, do you like that or what? Do you like that or what? Doesn't matter what attacks me, your comforts delight my soul. Shall the throne of iniquity, now listen to this, shall the leaders of this world, shall the governments and the leaders of iniquity who devise evil through laws and statutes. Have a look at what they're doing today. They are making out laws that legalize stuff that God abhors. Wow. I saw something that's going on in New South Wales this week, where they're trying to pass a law by the end of this year that virtually is a gag for Christians. No one else is gagged, just Christians. Yeah. You're not allowed to talk to anyone about God. You're not allowed to convert anybody to Christianity. You're not allowed to tell anyone about Jesus. This is the wicked and the evil that are trying to devise laws to crush the kingdom of God. They will never have fellowship with you. They gather together against the life of the righteous and condemn again innocent blood. My Lord. The Lord has been my defense and my God, and my God, the rock of my refuge. He's brought them down. He's brought on them their own iniquity. I tell you what, whatever they're trying to devise and do, it's going to turn around and bite them far worse. God's going to turn it back on themselves. How? Only if we reign in life through one Christ Jesus, where the church can come in and stand up against, Father, in the name of Jesus, stand up against every evil law that this country is trying to bring out to demean your people, to stop your church, to govern this world in a way that is a way of wickedness. In the name of Jesus, I will not surrender to that. I will not bow my knee to that. I will not give in to that. I will stand firm for your truth. Whoa, come on. That is reigning in life by one Christ Jesus. When we know our God, we stand firm for what God is and what he has made us to be in him. But we've got to know that for a start. That's got to be part and parcel of the whole scenario. Do we groan when we see the wicked doing what they're doing? Do we get up and say, God, not again. In Jesus' name, I bring that down. I cast that down. I don't allow that to influence my life in Jesus' name, but I stand against it everywhere I go. I will stand against it in my workplace. I'll stand against it in my home. I'll stand against it in my school. I'll stand against it wherever. In Jesus' name, I will reign in life by Christ Jesus. Whoa. Now, we can't do that in our own strength. Can we go to the notes on knowing God? This is where I was going to start. You know, Jesus prayed a prayer in John 17. This is what I call the Lord's Prayer, not that other one that we parrot off. This is him praying intensely when he come before his Father, and he went and set himself aside and he says, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son so that your Son may glorify you. Well, I'll tell you what. If Jesus prayed that, why don't we? Lord, I'm your child. You've glorified, you've put glory there. Can I glorify you, Lord? Is that my prayer as well? It should be. Wow. For you granted him authority over all, what's this? Authority, reigning in life by Christ Jesus. He was given authority. He's given us that authority. He said, I've done my job, you go and do it now. So that he may give eternal life to all those that you have given him. Now this is eternal life. Listen, listen, listen to these words. That they may know you. Not know about you, not know Bible stories, not know that Jesus came to die for me and he died for my sins and some therapeutic gospel that makes you feel good because you've said, Jesus, come into my heart, and then you go and do what you want to do. And then you go back to church next week and, oh, I did something bad this week. God, I'm sorry again. Oh. That's like going to a physiotherapist. I've got an ache in my back. God, yeah, give me, oh, I feel good now. And you go away and you do something else. You get another ache and you go again. We're not going to a physiotherapist, God. We're going to a King of glory. And he demands obedience and he demands a life that is surrendered to him, not a therapeutic, weak gospel. I'm telling you, I'm heading that way. With this, I want to take you somewhere. That you might know you, that's eternal life, to know you, the only true God, and to know Jesus Christ, the one that you sent. There's a knowledge there that is just beyond the head here. It's a heart knowledge. It's the same word know as in an intimate relationship of husband and wife. Adam knew his wife Eve and they bore a son. There's a closeness, there's an intimacy, there's an acquaintance that you can't get any other way without that complete knowing. You know, it's amazing when husbands and wives really know each other, they begin to think like one another. They know what the other person might, sometimes. But you know, there is that closeness that where people grow together. And it doesn't happen overnight. It's time. It's patience. It's understanding. But with God, it's the same. He gave us his word. And get to know him, what he says about himself in his word. We get to learn of his ways. We pray and talk to him. Then be quiet and wait for him to talk back. Too many people are, Father, blah, 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 blessed, blah, 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 10 for ever and out, amen. And they don't give God a chance, and he's going. Did you get a chance to talk to him there? No, just shut off straight. We need to spend time with God. We need to let him communicate with us. Keep our hearts and spiritual ears open. Say, God, I'm here, and I'm not leaving until I hear your voice. You may not hear an audible voice. You might get a thought. You might get an impression. You might get a picture of something. But God will give you what he wants you to have and what you need at the time. But do you receive it? Generally not. We're too busy getting the amen out and running off and do what we want to do. Let's give God some time, amen? Let's let him speak to us and communicate with us. See, Jesus said this, I'm not asking that you take them out of the world, that you'd keep them from the evil that's in the world. Well, isn't that good? Why? Reigning in life by one Christ Jesus. Reigning in life by one Christ Jesus. Reigning in life. He's not interested in taking us away and saying, oh, I'll rescue you quickly. No, he wants us to be guarded, protected, and kept from whatever evil. He says, they are not of the world just as I am not of the world. But we're in the world. You know, you're in the world, but you're not of the world. Sanctify them. Sanctify. What's sanctify? To be made holy in righteousness. To be holy. Given wholeness. By what? His word. What's the correct definition of sanctification, Di? Come on. Oh, there's another expression. Sorry?
Set apart.
Set apart. If you're set apart, that's it. You're set apart for what? For God, his purposes, and to be holy, for I am holy. To be made whole, set apart, to be useful for God's service. That's wholeness. That's holiness. Wow. Oh. Sanctify them by your truth. See, truth will always keep us on the straight and narrow. And if we don't know what the truth of God's word is, we have no idea what the standards are we're meant to live by or that we're to surrender to. And we'll believe anything. You've got to believe solidly or you'll just get deceived by other things. And as you sent me into the world, I've sent them into the world. Wow. Father, look at this. I want those that you've given me to be with me where I am, that they may see the glory that you gave me because you loved me before the foundation of the world. Man, I'll tell you what. We've been made to be seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus right in the here and now. You spend time with God, you're going to see his glory. You're going to experience his glory, and he wants that for us. He prayed that there. I love that. I love that. Continue on, Anthony, thanks. You see, this is eternal life, to know you, having close and intimate knowledge of, having personal and loving knowledge of, based on a foundation of what? Repentance, obedience, and a life of holiness, wholeness in God. Yeah. Leviticus 11:44, I am the Lord your God. Consecrate yourselves and be holy because I am holy. 1 Peter 1:16, it is written, he quotes Leviticus in the New Testament, be holy because I'm holy. Hebrews 12, pursue peace with people as well as holiness without which no one can see God. You know? You want to be a scatterbrain and live your life your way and say, God, I just don't know you and I don't know what you're all about. Well, of course not. There's no seeing God without the holiness part put into it. Next one. He's the only true God. See, and to know Jesus Christ, whom you have sent, in order to reveal you to them as God. That's how Jesus came. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He came to reveal the Father. You have seen me, you have seen the Father. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through me. You shall know the truth. The truth will make you free. And why did Jesus pray to know you and to know him? It was important to have that closeness and intimacy. Let's go on. See, we've got to have it in faith. It's got to be by faith. It can't be by head knowledge. It can't be by reading books about God, and there's millions of them around the world. It's the Word of God that reveals him, and we accept and receive it by faith. It's impossible to please him without God. Firstly and foremost, anyone that comes to God must first believe he is, and there's no question about that. No doubting in my heart, no doubting in my mind. God said he's there, so he's there. And I accept that at his word because God can't lie and God's true. So by faith, that is faith in immediately recognizing there's a God who's there. Got to first believe that he's there. No good saying, God, if you're there, here I am. That's not faith. That's dumb. We've got to come. Lord, I believe that you're there. I believe you gave your son Jesus for me. And because of that, I surrender to you. That's the real coming to God. He's the holy and existent one. Wow. And he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him and seek to know him. He doesn't let us down, ever. Let's go on quickly. You see, coming to Jesus and giving your life to serve and follow him is to throw away our own life and our own values and our own understanding of right and wrong. It's God's understanding we've got to come into. It's to fully throw ourselves into knowing him and living for him. There's no Bible base. Listen to this. Just accept Jesus as your personal savior. Doesn't even appear in the scriptures. Did you know that? Oh, just receive Jesus. That's a therapy gospel. I learned that yesterday. That's a therapy gospel. That's not what we want. We're not here for therapy. We're here for change. We're here for just complete surrender. We're here. Like you go to the army and join the army and they say, yep, you're accepted. That's good. Well, I just want to wear my board shorts and my thongs. Don't give me one of them uniforms. I don't need a gun. I don't believe in guns. What do you think the army's going to do to you? You'd be court-martialed and jailed for insubordination. We come to God like that sometimes. No, I don't need a sword of the Spirit. I'm all right, Jesus, you know, I'll just live my life and I'll believe in you. That's a wishy-washy, that's not a surrender. That's just a, you know, I feel good now, so I'm going to be, I'll call myself a Christian. Well, that'll get you nowhere. And I think we've got churches around the world today that are preaching this therapy gospel. God will bless you and God will prosper you and God will meet your needs and you'll have a wonderful life and a good job. Just receive Jesus now. And then it doesn't all work out like that. It's a fight. It's a battle. It's an ongoing surrender. It's an ongoing commitment. And this therapy gospel is deluding a lot of people and leaving them disillusioned now. And it's sad. We've got to start preaching the gospel. Person I was listening to last night said, you know, that we're in Phoenix. We're getting people that are listening to our message and saying, I don't even want to go to church anymore. They're not preaching what you're preaching. I suddenly realize I've been deluded. No, keep going to church and start to influence others to learn to know Jesus. Don't throw it out. Stay there and keep going was what they were saying. You be the light that shines in a dark place. You be the ones that bring the reality of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Woo! You be the one that are reigning in life and show people how it's done. Oh, man. Ho-ho. Punchy. Punchy. So eternal life is to know him. For to do so is to receive eternal life. All right, move on. You know, the Bible gives us three major steps. And in the book of Acts, when there was a massive outpouring of God's Spirit, and people were convicted in their heart. They heard the word of God. They heard it and they said, what will we do? What do we do? And Peter got up. He said, told them about the phenomena that had happened. What will we do? And he said, repent. Well, they understand the word repent. We don't. But a repent is change your mind. Completely change your thinking. Completely change your whole mindset about things. It's to change your direction. You're cruising down life, you're just doing whatever, and everything's cool and everything's rosy, and you do whatever the world's doing. All of a sudden you hear the message of the gospel and it's not just receive Jesus. Oh yeah, I'll receive Jesus, and you've got no idea. But when you hear repent, turn from what you're doing, turn from your sinful way, turn from your direction that's wrong and go back and say, God, I'm following you now, Lord Jesus. And to repent is to walk away from everything that was wrong in your life that didn't please God. That's true repentance. We don't carry our baggage with us. It's leave it. Turn and move away. Get away from. Disregard everything else. And it's not just a one-off act. I still live a repentant life. Yeah. Am I perfect? No. Do I still make mistakes? Yes. But I turn from those mistakes and I say, God, I'm sorry, in Jesus' name, forgive me, I'm going on with you. Repentance is daily. Repentance is ongoing. Repentance is a lifestyle. It's not a one-off act. People don't realize that and appreciate it. And if you're not walking a repentant life, sin will take over very quickly. The nature of man will take over quickly. Anger will rise up again and govern us. Other things take over very, very, very quickly if a repentant life is not enacted. Watch it. Be careful. Then it says, be baptized. Well, that's a testimony to others, and it's a testimony to yourself and a testimony to the powers of darkness. You get baptized, you're saying, this is an external demonstration of what went on in my heart. I'm killing myself off in my old life. The Bible says you are buried with him in baptism so that when you raise up, you will walk in a newness of life. Wow, baptism is a great event. People get a certificate for baptism. Yeah, I was baptized, but they don't live a baptized life. It's like repentance. It goes on. I'm dead now. My life is hidden with Christ in God. I want to talk to you about Jesus. Oh, I'm embarrassed. Well, you can't embarrass a dead man. You talk about Jesus boldly and strongly. Why? Because you're a dead man. You're a dead person. You're dead. You were buried with him in baptism. Your life is now hidden with Christ in God. I've never seen a corpse blush. You can't make me blush. But I happen to be a living corpse for Jesus. Isn't that good? Isn't that good? That's where we need to be. And then God didn't just say, well, do that in your own strength. Now that you've repented and been baptized, you're on your own, Jack. You know, just do your best and march on. No. And you will receive what? A gift of the Holy Spirit. Whoa. Whoa. Now, when you get saved, the Holy Spirit lives with you. But Jesus said he is with you and shall be in you. As not the Holy Spirit, who's the person of, it's Holy Spirit, the power of. The power of. Man, and that's what they received on the day of Pentecost. And they were empowered with cloven tongues, like as a fire, the Bible records. And it fell on each of them, and that rushing mighty wind swept through the building. And Jesus said to them, don't you dare go out anywhere, and you wait in Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. You go out before that, you're doing it in your own strength and you're going to fail. When you do it with the power of God in you, it's made for you to empower you. And that's the third part of real salvation. Receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And that's the beginning of a empowered life. So we've already got a repentant life. We have a baptized life and we have an empowered. Oh man. We should be taking over the world if we were living the way God wanted us to live. Amen? That's the Christian life that God said. Wow, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent, and everything that we are and have is then theirs. They repent, they get baptized, and oh boy, our spirit goes and lives with them. Whew! Empowered, not walking in any of my own capabilities, but just depending on him and his life, guiding, directing, and living in mine. Whew. You know, a lot of churches pray, oh Lord, lead us by your spirit. But they don't get the complete package. We pray here. Most times on a Sunday morning, Lord, give us your direction for today. And we need your protection from the onslaught of the enemy and from thoughts that are wrong and everything. Guard our hearts and minds. And we need your correction, Lord God. There's three areas in my life that are constantly part of my prayer life. His direction, his protection, and his correction. Constantly. Because it's part and parcel of what he wants to do in my life, to reveal his glory and to see myself become who he wants me to be. Wow. Got a long way to go sometimes. I still think, like, God, why do you bother? But he loves me. He gave his life for me. And he's never given up on me yet. And I love that. Next one. Is there another one? Then it tells us about who we are. If any man be in Christ, he's a totally new, recreated being. And that's the good thing about it. Old things are passed away and all things are fully made new. And I can't emphasize this enough. The devil still tells me I'm no good because I did this and I did that and I did the other. And I just say, I'm not guilty in Jesus' name. I repented. I've been baptized. I'm now a new creature in Christ Jesus. I'm a completely remade new person. Nothing I did before I come to Christ has any hold on me. It has any effect on me. That person doesn't lift anymore. They died at baptism. That's the importance of a baptized life, because you can relate to the time you killed off the old man and the old person and the old nature and gave and put on the new nature of Christ Jesus. That's important to be able to know that and have that as a stand in your life. No longer I who lives. But Christ lives in me. And the life I now live in this flesh, I live in through, by, and because of the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Man, what more perfect way of life could we live other than in and through and for Jesus? There's never again I did or I was or I used to be. That might be a memory, but it's no longer an active reality. People sometimes don't know how to differentiate between the two. The memory's one thing. Yeah, but I still remember things. Things I wish I'd never said or did or whatever. I still remember them. They have no hold. Ha! Why? Cleansed with the blood of the Lamb. Washed and made anew through the precious blood of Jesus. I am now living in Christ Jesus, fully sold out and trusting in him. That's the message of the gospel. That's the reality of the Christian walk. That's the first stages and steps of Christianity. Man, if that repentance, be baptized and be empowered by the Holy Spirit, is something that is just a step-by-step scenario back in the past, or you're not living it every day. You know, it just seems to be something churches preach. You know, you got to get saved. You got to get baptized. Now get filled with the Spirit. Yeah, right. You've made it. Good on you, mate. You know, glory, hallelujah, whoopee, whoopee doo. And they don't give them the instruction on living in that on a daily basis. You give up. You just put it down as a, yep, that's a date on my calendar. Look what happened to me then and then. Oh, beauty. What have you done with it since? What do you mean? Are you living a repentant life? Are you living a baptized life? Are you living an empowered life because of what God did for you in those instances? They think you're on another planet sometimes. I just can't work that out. But they ignore it. Yeah, I did what I had to do. I was talking to a guy not long ago. He's a mechanic. Both he and his wife were in a Pentecostal church. And I just said to him, what happened? Why? Look at you now. You're totally given up on God. I tried all that stuff. Didn't work. I spoke in tongues. I did this. I did that. I got baptized. Didn't work for me. So, you know, it's not real anymore. I'm out of here. Don't want to go anymore. Don't want nothing to do with it. There's two people in Gisborne that I know that are in that same boat. Yeah, I did all that. Oh, yeah, I used to go to church one day. I even spoke in tongues once. Yeah? Why are you like you are now? Because it was just an event to them. It was a therapy gospel. Because it was being like, oh, this is what you do. This is what you do, you know. Put 2 ounces of flour, an egg, a bit of milk, a bit of butter, cook it up in the oven. Yeah, now you've got a scone. You'll be fine now. You're going to heaven. God never saved us to go to heaven. He saved us to reign in life with him and eternally get practiced in reigning now. And then the reign in eternity becomes simple. It's exactly what it's all about. That's what it's all about. Lord God, take your word, I pray. Father, I pray this word becomes a reality to each of our lives. Father, wherever we've let things slip, we will hold on to what we've learned and not let them slip. That our lives in you will be hidden in Christ in God, fully surrendered, fully molded by you. That we'd be clay in the potter's hands constantly, being vessels that you can use, not just in this life, but for eternity. And Lord, I pray that over these people today in Jesus' name. If our knowledge of you has not been the knowledge that you require, Father, I ask that we would come to know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent, in order that your life would be glorified in ours, to reign in life through one, Christ Jesus. And I ask it in your precious name, Lord. Amen. Amen. I hope that has been a challenge to you. I hope it has opened up your eyes to a few things and to realize who